Welcome to the Deco Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future deco, modern, retro, and other related events. Also the stories that celebrate New Zealand's history and its people, as well as book reviews and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era.
Deco Retro, Deco Retro.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Nancy on the Deco Retro program. Today, I'm up at the Riverhead, a historical old pub on the Waitemata Harbour, and we are going to interview the owners, Paula and Stephen Pepperell, the hard-working owners of this wonderful old pub. The Riverhead is thought to be New Zealand's oldest riverside tavern and also holds New Zealand's second oldest liquor licence and remains fully New Zealand owned. Thomas William Deacon first established the Riverhead in 1857 after arriving in New Zealand with the Royal Navy. Nestled on the shores of the Upper Waitemata, the Riverhead is steeped in local history and played a part in the development of early New Zealand, with thousands using the wharf and hotel as the gateway to lands in the north prior to the completion of roads and railways. In 2010, this grand old lady was extensively renovated and was reopened in 2011 with new emphasis on providing a truly memorable hospitality experience, serving fresh New Zealand food with flair. The renovations have transformed the Riverhead. Its tradition, history, and the physical building itself has been kept and carefully restored to its former glory. So the new beginning for this pub was achieved by Paula and Stephen Pepperell. They had just returned from a 9-year trip around the world, a sailing adventure, in a boat they'd built themselves, for goodness sake, and were looking for a commercial project to sink their teeth into. Came across a mortgage sale in Riverhead, which then was the Riverhead pub. There it was, sitting waiting for someone like them to be brave enough to buy it. They both could see the potential of the old pub, and soon it was theirs. After 7 months, 5 separate building consents, 4 resource consents, 14 tons of jib, 92 paint test pots, 34 wallpaper samples, numerous contractors, engineers, consultants, council meetings, 29 side contracts with banks and breweries, not to mention a few sleepless nights. They had the first foray into hospitality. 6 years later, the bubbly couple are still right in the nick of things, keeping the standard of service high, continually looking for ways to improving the Riverhead, and most important, loving every minute of it. So I've driven up here today to interview them in this wonderful old pub, the Riverhead. Good afternoon, Stephen. It's lovely to have you on our program today and be up at the Riverhead.
Good afternoon, Nancy.
Now, you have been the owners for how long?
My wife and I, Paula, purchased the tavern in 2010. It had been a receivership and in mortgagee sale, and we purchased it, closed it down, and reopened it in February 2011.
Gosh, okay. And how did you sort of come to...
How did we come to be here? Long story, but basically we'd just returned from a 9-year overseas stint. We'd spent 9 years sailing around the world and having a bit of an adventure, and we came back and really just wanted to reinvent ourselves, and we were looking for something that was quintessential New Zealand, either in tourism or in hospitality. And so we happened upon this broken down old tavern that had been failing for many years, and decided we would breathe some new life into it.
Wow. Well, just as well you were around, otherwise it mightn't be here today.
I'm sure somebody would have picked it up eventually, but yeah, it was in a pretty poor state, and therefore it wasn't appealing for anybody that was wanting a sort of a turnkey business. It did need to have a lot of energy pumped into here.
I can imagine that. Now, okay, so the renovations, how long did they go on for? About a year?
We started in May and opened in November. It was pretty much, February the following year. So about 9 months, pretty full on. And at that point, we were able to open the venue with at least two-thirds of it operating. And then from there on, each year, we've managed to create a little bit more space and do new things. So in 2013-14, we did a major redevelopment of the what we call the boathouses, which is where we have our functions and events. Mm-hmm. So we are considered we're pretty much finished now.
Yes. And it would have taken, and how did you go for sort of with the council obtaining permits and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, that was a lot more involved than I thought. I was very optimistic when I first walked in here thinking, you know, this will be easy, it's just a renovation. But the reality is once you start pulling things apart, the council gets involved and everything's, you know, sort of goes back to a new building. So we had to get engineers' reports, you know, fire reports, permits for everything we did, and of course all that comes with fees. And I joke I could have bought myself a new car with what I paid council in that year, but I was so busy I didn't need a car to go anywhere. So it is what it is. And they were very helpful and helped us get the tavern open on time.
Well, that's great. Now, the Riverhead is situated in a strategic place on the Waitemata Harbour, and in the early days there would have been a lot of trading, etc. Probably early Maori would have paid a part in this early time. Now, Paula has just joined us, which is nice. Hello, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Now, I was going to ask you about how the Riverhead Tavern was built. Who built it, and in what year?
Whoa. Well, we know that Thomas Deacon, who previously had a liquor store, we have to assume, or a pub or something like that, a grog shop, over on the point, which you can see to the south of the tavern, he traded there for several years. Now, the issue was that the Māori used to bring their waka up to that point because it was actually quite shallow too, and so they could beach their waka, bring it up, and then portage it across to the Kumu River, carry it across, which was probably about 3 or 4 kilometres, and then they'd get in the Kumu River and they'd go up to the Kaipara Harbour, and then be able to go up to their lands in the north. And of course it was a two-way thing, yes, north-south. Yes. And that was their route. So that was where the original sort of little settlement was, or some trading posts there. But when the Pioneer came to New Zealand and they followed that same route, the steamers couldn't dock where it was so shallow.
Oh, okay.
So Thomas Deacon decided he would build his flash new Deacon's Hotel on this point where it's always got deep water. And even though it's very tidal still, and you can come up and see what it's like when the water's out, it's quite got big muddy banks, mm-hmm. There's always deep water at the dock. In fact,
great.
It's usually
just
about...
Naturally.
Yeah, so usually about 10 feet, 2 or 3 metres of water are always there off the dock. So you can leave a quite sizeable vessel there at all times. It's just getting in and out, which is the problem,
yes.
Either side of low tide. Yeah. So Thomas Deacon is renowned for his hospitality. Mm-hmm. His wife, Eliza... If you've ever seen any photos of Eliza.
I did see one just up here.
Well, over here.
Yes.
And she looks like she probably did most of the work. He was probably the entertainer, and she was probably the one in behind making it work. And they had several children, 12, I think, some from her first marriage.
Oh,
and some from...
Two marriages.
Yes,
wow.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. Like challenges, didn't she?
Yeah. And then they died both in the same year. And they were very industrious. They actually had a baker's, a butcher shop, a blacksmith, and the tavern.
Yes.
And all on this road here.
And they owned a lot.
Now, I believe it has the longest alcohol license. From what date did they get an alcohol license?
So it's actually the second longest continuous liquor license, the first being the Duke of Marlborough and Russell, and the Riverhead was the second establishment to get a license and to retain it for that period. So we promote ourselves as the oldest riverside tavern in New Zealand, because we're actually technically not on the Waitemata Harbour. We're technically on the Rangitapuni stream, which feeds into the upper Waitemata Harbour, about a kilometre from where the tavern is.
Right. So not quite on the Waitemata.
Not quite on the Waitemata, but you need to use the Waitemata to get to us.
Well, we are on the water, though.
We're definitely on the water,
Yeah. And the other interesting thing is this tavern has never burnt down. A lot of the old taverns who are still on their same liquor licence rebuilt because of fire, but this is actually the original building, and so it has never burnt down, contrary to popular opinion, because somebody actually published a book saying that it had actually burnt down, but no, it has never burnt down.
During the renovations of the tavern, we obviously pulled a lot of it apart, and it's had various upgrades over the years, but the upper level of the tavern where the residence was, or where the hotel was, is absolutely original, apart from one little area where they did actually, not intentionally, but they did nearly burn the place down where some children were playing with candles up there in the very early days. But when we pulled the walls apart, all the walls are pegged together. There's no nails, or very few nails, because nails would have had been imported from England at the time. So they were very resourceful in how they built in those days. So we've got some quite funky joinery out of the walls where they built the original stuff, and it was mostly out of kauri and local timbers.
Because it's in wonderful order now. I mean, it looks fantastic. I haven't been up here for many years, and I was so impressed when I pulled up. I thought, gosh, this is fantastic. Now, Riverhead has quite a history, and there's been several mills sort of in the surrounding area. Would either of you like to tell us a little bit about the mills?
So further upstream to us is the mill, and this is a little bit out of my depth here, but they it was established, I think, for a cotton mill, and then it changed to a paper mill.
Yes.
Now, it might be the other way round, and if anybody knows a very common paper in New Zealand called Matara Falls, which was a very good quality paper from down in the South Island, it was the Matara factory that actually took away they amalgamated and took the paper down to Matara rather than have it in Riverhead, but it used to be in Riverhead as well, and then became unprofitable. So it might have started with the paper, then it went to the cotton mill, and then flour.
I think there was flour. Yes.
There are some existing photos of the old sailing scows that would come up, the flat bottom boats that would come up and sit on the mud and unload them, and then they'd go out on the next tide. So it was a very busy waterway,
And I think they also used to make the hard tack biscuits that went off to war for the men,
really?
Do them in a big kiln that was almost as big as this tabletop, and then cut it up, break it up from there. Yes, So really some fascinating stories, and it was quite an establishment. It's quite big, but unfortunately it's all been demolished now.
Okay.
It's interesting, in the first year we were here, we had a visit from a family that brought their elderly mother and grandmother to out here for lunch, and I got to talk to her, and she'd gone to school here in Riverhead when she was a young girl, when the classroom had like 8 students, the very early days, and she used to deliver lunches and things down to the men working in the mill, so she had quite a lot to do with, and she was a bit of a daredevil. She used to, where the water race was, there was a plank there, she used to to walk across the plank instead of going where she should have gone. And she was here for many years, and her aunt Ruby, I believe it was the lady that they photographed as a model for the lid of the tobacco tins that they used up here for the local tobacco growing industry. So
I was surprised that there was tobacco growing, because I did see that. What was the name of it? Something Gold.
Riverhead Gold. Riverhead Gold. And, it, and their slogan, I think, was, "It's good for you because it's toasted." So wouldn't fly today, but that was their promotion at the time. So, yeah, it was quite famous, and there's a lot of the packaging was really, the tins that they used to put it in are real collectibles now.
Because it was packaged in... Was it packaged here or packaged in Napier? Something like that, wasn't it? Didn't it? I read somewhere where it was grown here, but then they...
Quite possibly,
the
yeah,
guy who...
Grown here for
yeah,
years.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Now, Paula and Stephen are going to tell us a little bit more about this wonderful lady who I believe is still alive, possibly over 100.
Yes, well, we had a visit in the early days from a family that bought their elderly... grandmother and mother. At that stage she was well into her 90s, don't know exactly how old, but she didn't look it, I have to say. She was in very good shape, and she went on to tell me that she went to school here and used to deliver the lunches and meals and things to the men working in the mill. And she obviously a daredevil in those days, and she used to walk across the plank and went across the waterways, and she was constantly getting told off for taking risks. But it turns out we found out that she'd recently done a bungee jump off the Sky Tower, I think probably the oldest person in New Zealand to do that, and she was lining up to do a tandem parachute jump while she was still going. So clearly a daredevil all her life. And it was interesting because her auntie, I think Aunt Ruby, I think she said it was the woman that was actually photographed and put onto the lid of the tobacco tins for the tobacco that's grown locally. And it sounds like it was a bit of a family contention, because she was never paid for it and they've never gotten over it, I believe.
Poor thing. Well, she could still claim some money because she's apparently still alive. Okay, now what else can we talk about? Well, I believe you like to train your staff in the history of the, you know, tavern and the surrounding districts. Can you tell us a bit about that?
You're right. Well, when staff start here, we do an induction, obviously, around their training and, you know, how the Riverhead operates, but also a lot about the history and the culture that, one, we want to have within the team here at Riverhead. But it's really important because people come to the tavern, they visit, and they're interested. They want to know the history. They want to know, you know, what makes the place tick. So it's really important that our staff can engage with the customers and can answer the questions, the multiple questions they get answered. So the common question is, you know, what's the name of the stream, which way is Auckland, because once you drive out to Riverhead and you sat here in the tavern, you could be a million miles from Auckland. So it's and it's interesting, we have a lot of ferry visits. The ferries come up here bringing people up here, and we've had comments from people that have been out here for a Christmas function that have got off a ferry and said, do you people live on this island, such as the journey from Auckland, and how remote it feels when you come by boat.
Yes.
So yeah, very, very keen for our staff to understand the history and the importance of it in the scheme of things.
But we also love to hear the stories of the of our guests that come here. We've had lots and lots of you know, particularly older people who have come, because remember there's no one older than the tavern, so nobody knows the stories better than the people who can come out here. And we've heard of people who got engaged here, people who were conceived here, people who were thrown out, people who were drinking here at probably way younger than they should have,
yes,
people who were brought up and given a lemonade and
packet of chips
and left and for a long period of time. All sorts of funny stories of, you know, animals being in, like a horse being in the portage bar, all sorts of funny stories. And we just love to hear the stories. So if anybody's got any, and just send them to us. We love to hear it, because it all just adds to the flavour of the Riverhead.
Yeah. And I believe in the early days of, did it run with a licence at the start when it was first built, or...
I believe it's always had a license, but there was a lot of stories around smuggling and illegal grogging and stuff like that. So they've been taken to court in the early days for things that the local constabulary thought they could pin on them, but they were always clever enough to avoid any sort of prosecution. But there is quite a lot of folklore around the obviously avoiding excise tax and things,
yes.
Local grog being sold here that perhaps didn't come from the correct channels. So yeah, lots of stories and things they used to get up in the early days. And of course, back in the days of 6 o'clock closing, there weren't a lot of drinking establishments in the area.
Yeah.
And so they could be, you know, 15 deep at the door, let alone the queue at the bar. So it obviously was a gold mine in its day, you know, before they sort of broke all that up. So lots of history. And as Porter said, we get lots of visits from people that want to have a chat to us about their experience they may have had here 50 years ago or you know, they stayed in the hotel. And even the Deacons, extended Deacons family, with their descendants of the Deacons are often popping in to see us. And,
oh, really? Yeah. Gosh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we named out the original kitchen, which is now a private dining room, which we're sitting at the moment.
Yes.
We'd named Deacon's Kitchen in honour of the people that built it. Yeah,
yes.
And we'd get, at some stage, after we'd opened, we got a very lovely, very nice letter from a descendant of the Deacon's family thanking us for keeping the name alive.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. And I believe you sort of serve mainly sort of good New Zealand produce and make an effort to... Is that right, or have I got that wrong?
No, we try to buy locally and to have the freshest ingredients. Everything's cooked from scratch, which can be a challenge sometimes, especially when the boats come up and we have 80 to 100 people disgorge off the boats, and we've got to get those meals turned around within two hours so that people can get back on the boat. But generally speaking, you know, we've got a nice range of food. It satisfies the, you know, the traditional pub food people who want that sort of thing, and their foodie friends and relatives.
Exactly.
And so we've got to sort of keep that really broad range there. And we've been pleasantly surprised at the impact that, you know, and the feedback that we've had from people.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you've put so much effort into this wonderful pub or tavern, and I'm just wondering how you see the future. Do you think you'll stay for until you're old and on a walking stick, or will you just I suppose that's a bit of a funny question, but
we probably won't stay as long as the Deacons, but you know, we've been in it for 8 years now, and we're in no real hurry to move on. And you know, we're watching trends and things that are happening in the industry. So one of the big shifts in, particularly around the sale, control and sale of alcohol, is obviously the minimisation of harm. So we're seeing a big shift in the time that we've been here, from when we bought it, where it was been 85% beer, to being now 60% food, and then of the beverage offer, the other 40% of that is split across a wider range of beverages, including a large range of non-alcoholic beverages, coffee, but also fine wines, and you know, other drinks and things like that. So changing landscape, you've got to keep an eye on what's going on. So a lot of effort, a lot of our effort goes into the customer experience, and without the food, we wouldn't have the crowds we get here. So to give an example, in December, our biggest day in December, we served 880 meals in one day. So yeah, so we do some large volumes. So that was associated with Christmas parties and functions, but all in one day. So you can imagine how busy the kitchen is.
Yes, I can imagine. Oh no, that's fantastic. What else were we going to chat about? Now, if people wanted to come up here, you can come by the ferry or you can come by car. The ferry, I'm not quite sure where you catch it. Would you like to give some details on just how to get here by car and how to get here by ferry?
Yeah, sure. The ferry we've streamlined now to a website that you can book online, so that you don't need to book the ferry and us, because, of course, the two ferry companies aren't our companies. They're separate companies to us.
Yeah.
So there is the website is www.ferry.com. theriverheadexperience.co.nz, and you can go online, pick the day that you want to come. There will be two sailings per day if the tide is in on that day, and it's either one of the ferry companies. And if you click on, there's two ferry companies. And interestingly, they leave from different places in Auckland. So it can suit people for different reasons. There's the one, the Riverhead Ferry leaves from Pier 3, Central City. So if you're coming from, say, Waiheke, or you're going on public transport, or you want to leave your car in the downtown car park, that type of thing, and you're in town, or if you're just visiting New Zealand or Auckland and you're living, your accommodation is right in the middle of town, then the Riverhead Ferry is probably the best one. Okay. And the other one is the Red Boats. And the Red Boats leaves from Zed Pier in West Haven. Okay. So it's a little bit out of town. Well, it's only about a kilometre away from central Auckland. That's right, yes. So in West Haven Marina. But there's a lot of parking. So for anybody who is visiting with friends and family and has got a car, that's probably the better one, because then you've got the parking right there. Mm-hmm. But you can book online at that Riverhead Experience website directly, and you'll book into us and the ferries and pay for the ferries online. And obviously just choose what you want and pay for your meals once you're here.
But it's a great gift for somebody if somebody's wanting to give somebody a gift. It's a really good value. They can just book them in there. They'll get a boarding pass. They turn up on the day and they're up here. Okay. And the other alternative is you just get on State Highway 16 and drive straight out here. So it is only 20 to 25 minutes from the city. So it's a nice, easy drive along our brand new motorway.
Interestingly, we often have people turning up here probably half an hour early for their bookings, because they just think that we're that much further out of town, so they arrive and go, oh, I'm sorry, we're early. And it's constant, you know. And often when I'm in town and I've given my address to somebody, and they'll say, oh, we'll try and get out to the Riverhead sometime in the next year. Feel like, say, you know, we're actually closer to central Auckland than Howick.
Yes.
So you don't need a passport to come here.
That was typical of me today, because I started off thinking, oh, this is going to take me an hour. And I was sort of like, wow, I'm here. It's with the new highway and those roundabouts and some, you're there.
It's an easy commute from the city. The Northwest has a lot to offer, so, you can come have lunch here and go out to, away to the beach or the Gannett Colony or any of the wineries.
There's lots of...
It's a great day out coming out this way,
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add about your wonderful tavern?
I'd just like to say that this is a collaboration between Paula and I and the team that work here, and our locals and our supporters and suppliers and what have you. Mm-hmm. So, it's not just us. It's a big team of people. Currently, we've got 84 staff. So it is.
Really?
Yeah, we're open every day of the year, including Christmas Day. So it is quite a different beast to what it was when we bought it. Mm-hmm. But we've got some wonderful people here looking after our guests. Yes.
We've actually changed our name. When Stephen and I bought it, we changed the name from Riverhead Tavern to The Riverhead, because we felt it was important, because we've got a licensed restaurant that caters for 150 guests with a la carte service.
Wow,
we've got the Portage Bar, which is your typical bar, sports bar, neighbourhood bar that you can come in, watch the rugby and just have a beer and just enjoy it. Yeah. And it's a pub experience and pub-type food. Right. And then we have the Boathouse, which is open to the public on Sunday afternoons only. And it's a great place to meet friends and families with your children. Huge lawns, games on the lawn, and just really relaxed. And we always have live music down there. Great sort of place just to chill out for your Sunday afternoons. Mm-hmm. But it is only Sunday afternoons, because the rest of the time it's our function and events venue, and so you, we do over 40 weddings a year, and a lot of corporate meetings and conferences and loads and loads of Christmas parties. Wow. And we open it up on special occasions for Christmas and huge New Year's party and some events that we run ourselves. Wow. So it's not just your normal tavern. It's got a lot more moving parts than that.
Well, that all sounds fantastic. I must come up probably on a Sunday and listen to that wonderful music. So, Paula and Stephen, thank you very much for being, you know, with us today. This is going to be of great interest to our listeners. And, well, all the best for the future in this wonderful tavern.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you.